It's time for Sports Talk on this Friday afternoon. I'm John Wilkerson with Vince Ferrara, and today we are at Oak Ridge Nissan, and there's just a lot going on. In fact, I believe this qualifies as Max Pan, maximum pandemonium, as Vince, we are in an office filled with folks that are in the process of getting new vehicles.
Yeah, I think Scott Graup wanted to get us a different perspective from within. We're kind of like in the eye of the hurricane.
That's right.
We can see the view and the storm wall on the outside. We're actually on the inside where there's some calm, but there's things getting done. It's a different perspective, but great to be here, and you can actually see those deals being done.
That's right, because what's going on here at Oak Ridge Nissan is they've got their showroom and what has been their headquarters for years and years. Well, they're going for a new look.
Yeah.
And so there's massive amounts of work that are about to that's about to get underway. So we are here on the premises, and we are here once again to talk about the year-end clearance event that's going on now. There's a reason that Oak Ridge Nissan is your number one volume Nissan dealer in East Tennessee. And as Scott likes to say, he's got a sack full of goodies for the year in clearance. And Santa's dropped off even more inventory. So you can drop off the all-new Nissan Frontier under your tree. Or how about the number one selling Nissan Rogue? Oak Ridge Nissan has them. Don't forget, at Oak Ridge Nissan, if you've got a trade, you've got it made, get up to $8,000 over Kelley Blue Book. Again, that's $8,000 over Kelley Blue Book so that you can pay it off no matter what you owe. And I think that qualifies as a very significant stocking stuffer. So it is beginning to look a lot like Christmas. So make that 10-minute sleigh ride and save thousands at Oak Ridge Nissan as their year-end clearance is going on now, right where the turnpike meets up with Illinois Avenue. And Vince Ferrara, we have a ton of content today. Always look forward to Fridays because of our Friday guests. And so we have Jesse Smith, the of 5starpreps.com. That'll be at 3:35. We have Coach Al Brown joining us for hour number two of the show as we talk hoops with him from 4 until 5. And I'm talking about our regular guests. We look forward to Steve Hamer joining us for Hamer Time around 6:15. But we also add to the mix today at 5:05, Chris Lowe of ESPN is going to join us to talk about the conspiracy conversations that have been going on for 25 years, Peyton Manning not winning the Heisman, and Michigan with its split national championship. He wrote an article that broke down both sides, both arguments, both fan bases, and their reactions to what they feel were obviously wronged. They were obviously wronged back in the after the 97 season. So Chris will join us at 5:05. We will talk with Alcoa football coach Brian Nix. The Tornadoes won their 8th straight state title last week. It is a state record. They have 21 state titles now in the history of their program, so he will join us at 5:35. We'll give you your chance to win with a sports fix at 6. And Vince, just when you think we have run out of things to do and people to talk to, we will have your conversation with Tom Luganville of ESPN. He's a college football analyst. He's a scout. He's a sideline reporter. Does a lot. And so I know you had a fantastic conversation with him that we look forward to sharing with our listeners.
Yeah, a lot on Tennessee football recruiting, how the year is gone, things moving forward. So really good stuff. Even talk dogs, which you don't want to miss. That's coming up in the 6 o'clock hour.
Never want to miss that ever, ever, ever. And so why don't we go ahead and jump right to news and notes, and those are brought to you by Image Matters, technology you need, people you trust. And, Vince, that's an organization and people you've trusted for years and years, and there's a good reason why.
Yeah, absolutely. The service, the affordability, the quality, all of that at Image Matters, gone to them forever, and we'll continue to do so.
So we start with what was a first for Tennessee football, and that was Jalin Hyatt last night won the Biletnikoff Award. So glad to see it. So deserving, as he finished ahead of the other two finalists. And so it was amazing to hear his comments. And just I thought the young man is so very deserving of this honor. Very deserving to be the first for Tennessee.
Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, you get into you get into legendary status, considering the school has had the moniker of wide receiver U, and that hasn't happened before. And Jalin Hyatt had that kind of season to win that award that he earned. Incredible. No one was more explosive. No one had more yards per target. No one had more touchdowns of more than 20 yards. I mean, you name it, he did it. Very few drops on the season. Incredible amount of consistency. And he had his biggest game in their biggest win this year. Against
5 touchdown passes.
Highest level of competition. And he mentioned that fifth touchdown, and the fan reaction was probably the singular highlight moment of his season. And got a chance to revisit the story of how down he was after last year. We expected more coming off of the flashes of the freshman year, and how Kelce Pope challenged him in the offseason to catch 10,000 balls. Well, in a 3-month period, well, he did 14,000 with the jugs and through air. He put in the work and he got the results, and you got to see him play the kind of ball that people thought he could play with his recruiting ranking coming out of high school.
So congratulations to him. The numbers that he put up, fantastic. And he has been a consensus All-American. When you take a look at what he has won, not only is he the first ever Biletnikoff Award winner in the history of the school, but he is first-team All-American, according to, among others, Walter Camp, Football Writers Association, The Athletic, CBSSports.com, and 24/7 Sports. That's all one compilation. All SEC first team by the Associated Press, by the coaches, and by USA Today. So you have 7 outlets that have them first team, either All-Conference or All-American, as well as the Biletnikoff Award winner. That's a pretty nice postseason haul.
It is, and because there was some more mixed opinions in some of the national awards for Hendon Hooker, a quarterback, it's nice to see another guy that was so elite at his position this year for Tennessee get rewarded with the kind of accolades that he deserves. So I'm glad that people haven't missed the boat on him.
Yeah, unfortunately, Hendon Hooker, while he certainly has been very deserving of being All-American second team, according to CBSSports.com, SEC Offensive Player of the Year, according to 3 outlets, the Associated Press, coaches, as well as USA Today Network, all SEC first team by those same 3 outlets, AP, coaches, and the USA Today. He has come up short in each award for which he's been a finalist. It was the Maxwell and the Walter Camp Awards going to Caleb Williams, the Southern Cal quarterback, and the Davey O'Brien Award, the quarterback award, went to Max Duggan of TCU. So those awards were handed out last night. Hendon Hooker also a finalist for the Manning Award and the Johnny Unitas Golden Arm Award. But so far, it has been no go, but still plenty of recognition for Hendon Hooker in terms of just the incredible season that he had to cap his Tennessee career.
Yeah, and I imagine there's still some more of those to come, so we'll see if that changes.
And then as far as just running down the laundry list of who has won what, Josh Heupel, SEC Coach of the Year, according to the Associated Press, Offensive Coordinator Alex Golish, now the head coach at South Florida, Frank Broyles Award finalist. Then you have Jacob Warren, member of the 2022 SEC Community Service Team, Darnell Wright on the offensive line, first-team All-SEC with the Associated Press, the coaches, and the USA Today. And then Byron Young, All-SEC first team with the coaches, SEC, All-SEC second team, with the Associated Press. And so that's what's going on with Tennessee football. Again, a major milestone, as we always like to hear, a major award for Tennessee football, one that it had never won before, Jalen Hyatt. In fact, Tennessee had never had a finalist before.
That is wild.
Yeah, you had 3 semifinalists, but you had never had a finalist prior to Jalen Hyatt in this season, and he becomes the first of all to win it.
Crazy. That was stunning to hear, but I think it with Jalen, his story, his popularity, it's awesome to see that kind of kid. I told you, I've said it a bunch of times this year, that nobody, to me, instilled more confidence in what this football team was going to do and hearing him talk, even though he was humble, than Jalen Hyatt. And then another thing was he was asked about whether he's going to opt out of the bowl game, mm-hmm. and he said 50-50. So that is as noteworthy as anything coming out
right.
of that meeting with the media after he was announced the Biletnikoff Award winner.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question that it's on his mind that he is within 30 yards of setting a new school record in terms of the single season. But we'll see whether or not he follows through and finishes the season with the team, or what other decision he might come to. That'll be something that I think he kind of alluded to that we would know within the next few days.
Yeah, I think he said next few days, next week. I think he will decide soon because they're going to be getting practice going pretty soon.
So. That's right. And so Tennessee football, not yet to the practice stage when it comes to preparing for the Orange Bowl and the date with Clemson. But again, big news for the Big Orange with Jalin Hyatt last night. Tennessee basketball, of course, is on its way to Brooklyn as they have got another big matchup. This one will be in the Barclays Center on Sunday. The game three of four games. It's a quadruple header at the Barclays Center on Sunday. Tennessee draws number 13 Maryland, number 7 Tennessee, and this should be another outstanding opportunity for the Volunteers to showcase their wares, and it'll be something to see whether or not the Volunteers are at full strength as they go.
Yeah, and Tennessee hasn't played Maryland in a long time. The last time they're 2-2 all time, or 2-2, and then the last time Maryland had Len Bias.
Wow.
So that tells you it's been a while. And Rick Barnes bringing Tennessee up to New York City for the fourth time and third appearance at the Barclays Center for a different event. So be interesting to see if Santiago Vescovi does come back for this game. Mm-hmm. Rick Barnes is asking the post game on it if he was kind of directing towards him returning for this one. And he thought. To see them play and just playing in that great arena is going to be a lot of fun for those guys. And oh, by the way, then the competition really steps up. I think outside of Kansas, Maryland might be the next best team on Tennessee's schedule of the games that counted this year. Of course, Gonzaga was an exhibition game.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, it's really neat how they bring the teams into the Barclays Center, because what they do is they load the bus. You pull off the street, and it's right there, doors open, and you pull into a bus elevator. And it is such an incredibly tight fit. But the bus pulls in, and then it goes down a couple of floors, and then the doors open, and they pull out, and there's enough room to park several buses in that area, which is right at floor level. And they also have big rotating position that you drive the bus onto it, and it will spin the bus around to where you then pull into the elevator, and when you go up, you just pull out into the street. You get turned around under the building, and then you go up, the doors open, you pull right out into the street into to New York traffic, and there you go. It's one of the most amazing things just to watch them handle that.
Was it last year that you got a chance to go up there?
I think it was actually 19.
Okay.
But it was really something to see. It's a cool experience, and again, Tennessee will be game three. Be interesting to see if indeed how close they get to 4:30 being the actual tip-off, because they're allowing 2.5 hours between games, or excuse me, 2.5 hours for each game in terms of the schedule.
Right.
So the game before Tennessee goes at 2:00. Tennessee's supposed to go at 4:30, and then the next game goes at 7:00.
And because people care about this kind of stuff, Tennessee is designated as the road team in this game.
And who will we hear you talk to ahead of that game?
Olivia Kumwa. We went through actually assistant coach by assistant coach and what each of those guys bring to the table, and talked about his development and why they're so good defensively, and Maryland a little bit. So Olivia Kumwa is the Vol in the spotlight tonight.
We will look forward to that on Sunday. And so why don't we go ahead and get a break? We've got a lot, again, coming your way, as we have so much to talk about. Another remarkable comeback last night in Thursday Night Football. What about Baker Mayfield with the rally? A 98-yard drive in the final 2 minutes to lead the Rams to a victory over the Raiders, and it broke a 6-game losing streak for L.A., the world champs.
I have some thoughts on that, John.
Yeah. So why don't we go ahead and get a break, because that's what's coming next. Vince's Views on a Friday. That's Vince Ferrara. I'm John Wilkerson. And again, it's our privilege to be here at Oak Ridge Nissan as their year-end clearance continues. This is Sports Talk on 99.1, the Sports Animal. Yeah.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is that, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Regardless of format, if you ever manned an air shift as a disc jockey during the holidays, at some point you received a call for Elmo and Patsy. And if you played it, watch out, because it was only going to increase tenfold until you played it again.
Yeah. Oh, they're playing Christmas songs. I call in with mine. Oh, yeah.
Goodness gracious. Unbelievable.
We've both done overnight shifts before. Yeah. So once you open the floodgates in the overnights, then everybody gets the green light.
That's right. And if you ever wanted to call a radio station, and I'm talking about one that played music back in the day, then no doubt you heard, oh, yeah, that's coming right up. I'll get right to it.
Never predetermined.
That's right. Sometimes it happened, and other times, wait a minute, you said it was coming right up. Right. Oh, and it is. Right up. It's coming up. Don't worry. I'll get to it. Oh, my goodness. But Elmo and Patsy, wow, can take you back. So anyhow, last night it was the Rams taking it back, down 13 to Las Vegas. And you can just add this one to the, let's see, it's 9 losses now, I believe, on the season for Las Vegas. No, 8. 8 losses for the Raiders and half. They've had at least a 13-point lead. It's been a 17-point lead, and another, a 20-point lead that didn't stand.
The Raiders, let's see. I think, trying to find that number, I believe the Raiders are 2-4 in games that they've led by 13 points or more. I think that's the number. It's insane how often they've had a lead that they could not hang on to. And they played so well for a good part of that game. But,
and essentially the last month. I mean, they had 3 straight wins going into it. You take on a team that has just been decimated this year, 6 straight losses coming into the matchup. And, of course, and it's not like they have a home field advantage, because in SoFi it's the opponents that have the upper hand if it's a – we'll just say mobile fan base. And it was Raider fans last night that had the loudest voice.
Yeah.
But goodness gracious, yep, just didn't see that coming.
Raiders 2-4 in games in which they led by 13 points or more. The rest of the league this year, 93-14-1. That's how hard it is to do what the Raiders have accomplished. Look, the penalties on that final drive, John. Especially the knocking the ball out of the hand of Baker Mayfield. I mean, how boneheaded is that? Why? That's no value whatsoever.
100%.
And whether there's officials nearby or not, and there were, it's just stupid. But that's the Raiders always are among the league leaders in penalties. And then they're playing press man when you're trying to keep them out of the end zone.
Yeah, that's what you heard Mayfield say afterward. I mean, the winning touchdown comes with 10 seconds left. It was the longest drive for a go-ahead score in the final 2 minutes in the last 46 years.
So hard to do. So, look, Baker Mayfield made some tremendous throws. That last throw to Jefferson was on the money. It was on time. And then the throw to Skowronek before that was fantastic. And the Raiders certainly helped him in so many ways. He did his part, and it was very surprising to see a guy so new be able to accomplish that. My one thing is, I think that some people have gone over the top on this. These are professional athletes. There's some familiarity with them. I know it is new verbiage, things like that. But Sean McVay changed and sort of limited some of what he's doing. I'm not saying it wasn't impressive and he didn't do his part, but there were other aspects of it, and there was a little bit, I think, of drama. Al Michaels, after he made his first throw, Al Michaels was talking about, what a debut! He hadn't done anything. It was one throw. And he's talking about, what a debut. And look, Kirk Herbstreit really likes Baker Mayfield. So I just thought it, for a majority of the game, they were talking as if Baker Mayfield had already done that comeback. Once he did it, then I understood that, because that was special and so unique. I just think some have gone a little bit over the top. And, oh, by the way, it's not like we haven't seen peaks from Baker Mayfield. It's the consistency.
Right.
What's he going to do after this?
Great point.
Yeah.
But, yeah, although if you expect me to sit here and believe that somebody somewhere is going to overreact to something that happened in the NFL – you've got another thing coming, my friend.
Is that the look you gave me? You gave me a look when I was talking about overreaction. I was like, either he's talking about the overreaction, or he does not believe in what I'm talking about.
No, so. I think you spelled it out very accurately. But it is so funny that even though you get this deep into a season, that there is still the amount of overreaction that is seen from one game to the next, even one quarter to the next.
Right.
But, yeah, that's the NFL, though. That is the NFL.
Look, it gave that game juice that otherwise
sure
you would
did.
Not have. So, you know, we appreciate it and took it all in. So it was still impressive for him. We'll see if he can keep it going.
Yeah, because the Rams, they don't have to worry about what the losing streak is now, even though it's still a woeful season, and they are 4-9.
Right.
They did get a win over the Raiders.
And we'll see if Baker Mayfield already has some T-shirts to commemorate his accomplishment, because he had those before he did anything in Carolina, right?
Right.
So Baker will probably be Baker in this situation.
So maybe we'll see some commercials where he's living at SoFi. I did love those commercials in Cleveland.
They were very good.
Well done.
But then when they were running after his struggles,
yes.
Then maybe you dial those back.
Very. I would agree entirely. That's Vince Ferrara. I'm John Wilkerson. We're at Oak Ridge Nissan. It is their year in clearance. When we return, it'll be Jesse Smithy of 5starpreps.com. He joins us next on 99.1 The Sports Animal. Sports Talk continues with Vince Ferrara. I'm John Wilkerson. We're at Oak Ridge Nissan today as their year in clearance continues. We head to the Stanley Fencing and Gates hotline, as it's always a pleasure to check in with Jesse Smithy of 5starpreps.com as he joins us for his weekly visit. Jesse, how are you?
Doing well, guys. How are y'all?
Doing quite well. So it continues to be a whirlwind this time of year. You, of course, had fantastic coverage. Three area teams had the chance to win state titles, all did, and it was all record-setting and or first time or new highs. First perfect season, second state title for West, first ever state championship, perfect campaign for Anderson County, and, of course, Alcoa doing Alcoa things. Eight straight state championship for the Tornadoes. And then, of course, you had Mr. Football. So since last we spoke, Jesse, what has stood out to you in terms of just another wonderful array of accomplishments for teams in these parts?
Sure. Well, Mr. Football is still kind of the most fresh on my mind, just because we got back from there a couple of days ago in Nashville, and to see Lance Williams, the offensive lineman at Alcoa, a kid who has started 4 years, and you talk about coming into Alcoa as a freshman and basically starting right away. I mean, I don't think he was officially a starter in game one, but by the second series of the game, he was in there, and he never really left the field after that. So, and to win multiple state wrestling championships, I mean, this guy is just everything you could want in a Mr. Football winner, and it's a rarity nowadays with how Mr. Football is formatted and set up for an offensive lineman to win it. And so he was the only winner, I believe, Wednesday that was a lineman, and that's a big honor. That's a big feather in your cap if you're an offensive lineman, you win a Mr. Football award. So that kind of stands out, and you see Marcellus Jackson, the all-purpose athlete from Fulton, win that, and just for him to open up in the presser afterwards and talk about how he was homeless his freshman and sophomore year of high school and how much that's motivated him to try to make it someday, make it either professionally or in other some business aspect of life, and try to provide for his family so that they're never in that position again. I mean, it's just a touching moment. And Deshaun Bishop repeats his 5A state or his 5A Mr. Football. And there are a lot of a lot of displeased people up in White County. They felt like their running back, Malachi Dowell, should have been the winner. There were upset people at Anderson County who thought Walker Martinez, the quarterback from there, should have won in 4A. But at the end of the day, I mean, it's still a cool moment to see those kids honored and receive such big awards.
With Jackson, I'll say this. I got to see Fulton's game against West and just the effort. Even though West pulled away and did so early on, that was one of the things that stood out about the Falcons, is you just the effort was there and giving 110%, even though the score keeps getting more and more lopsided. It's just I was so impressed with how hard he played, just trying to make something happen for the Falcons. And he wasn't the only one. I was just saying it really stood out because he, as you mentioned earlier, this was somebody who was pressed into service at quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, he's not a quarterback by trade. They've needed him to play that this year and a little bit of the latter half of last year, and stepped into that role, tried to learn as much about being a quarterback as he could. I mean, basically, they graduated a lot of people off the line, and so that guy's good at scrambling, and he needed to do that all year this year. I mean, he ran for, I think, over 1,400 yards, threw for over 1,000 yards, played defense full-time, had two or three interceptions, returned kicks and punts. I mean, he's just a do-everything type of player for Fulton. But, yeah, I've never seen him take a day off, John. I mean, not that I cover every single game of theirs, but every game I'm at, he's going 100 miles an hour, and it never stops. And I just asked him about that after he won Mr. Football, and that's kind of when he opened up about his life and why he pushes himself so hard. But he's not a bitter person about it. And I see him, you know, playing with kids around the games, and he's just an awesome kid to be around. And so it was cool to have that 4 or 5 minutes with him and kind of talk about what pushes him in life and where it could possibly take him.
Such an impressive young man. Why don't we go ahead and get to the title games, and let's start with 4A. It was really such a neat story last year in 5A, because you have Powell led to a state title by a former Panther, and it was really fun to talk with Davey Gillum earlier this week, because it finally was the Maverick mission accomplished for a program that had not been to the state title game before. As you talked about, when they had to go on the road for the semifinal matchup, that was perhaps just a big step, because it kind of allowed them to hit that reset button as they fell behind, overcame some adversity, had such a strong performance, and then they were really pressed by Pearl Cone, but they were certainly up to the challenge.
Yeah, I mean, how do you spot a team 14 points in the first 73 seconds of the game in the state championship and come back and win? I mean, normal teams can't do that. I mean, especially first-timers in a state championship setting. You get down there, there's all the emotions, nerve, angst. I'm sure a lot of those kids didn't sleep well the night before. You go down there, first game of the day, you're down 14-0, 1 minute, 13 seconds into the game, and you probably have some self-doubt, or are we not as good as we thought? Is the moment too big? But again, all that adversity that Anderson County faced in 2022, 2021, all the way back to the Stanton Martin years, just I think it's just forged them into a mentally tough football team that they're not afraid to fall down 14-0 or 17-21 points and be able to come back and win. We saw them do it multiple times. And so it was just kind of your vintage Anderson County comeback win that they've displayed over the last couple of years, and especially this year. And I just never panicked, and I thought, properly managed the fourth quarter clock-wise and possession-wise, and then Bryson Vowell getting that interception to clinch the game in the final second. I mean, what a punctuation mark that is on a 15-0 season, just such a defining play like that. That game's going to be talked about in that moment, talked about for decades to come at Anderson County. So 15-0, as you mentioned, Davey Gillum, a former player, leading them to a state title. I remember him using so many motivational tactics through the years to kind of push his team possibly over the edge in that second and third round. I can remember him wearing his Letterman jacket some year to kind of tell the story of them getting to the semifinals when he was a player at AC. And I know he took an immense amount of pride in finally leading that program to a state championship this past week.
Jesse, West got back on track for the first time since 2014 with the state championship. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think going into the year, so many people had penciled in a West versus Powell state semifinal game. It's kind of like the AFC Chiefs-Bills. You kind of have it on paper that
right.
you think that's the way it's going to be. And then the Super Bowl sort of anticlimactic because you like them as a favorites. But they handled their business even after getting over that Powell hurdle in their close games this year. How impressed were you with what West was able to do in the title game in this season?
Yeah, very, very impressed, given that those players had not been there. You talked about the last state championship being in 2014. And Lamar Brown, the head coach, talked about how physical that Powell game was the week before and how dinged up some of his players were. But I'm sure once that adrenaline kicked in on game day, they probably didn't feel as sore or feel any kind of nagging injuries that they had. It was kind of an odd first quarter, kind of like a heavyweight bout where the guys are just kind of slowly circling the ring, kind of throwing some soft jabs, feeling each other out a little bit. And then the second quarter, just an all-out shootout erupted into that state championship game. And to watch Carson Jesse, a kid who's not known for throwing for 2,500 or 3,000 yards, for him to just completely air it out there in that second quarter and make so many great throws down the football field, which is one of his strengths, throwing the deep ball and getting that ball to the athletes. It was just a cool moment for him because West is known for his defense and probably his run game next with Braden Latham, and he kind of stole the show winning Blue Cross Bowl MVP. So, and then the second half, kind of everybody got involved. All the athletes seemed to kind of get into the end zone and pull away. So it was a great, great ending for West High School and for Lamar Brown, who's probably one of the most well-liked coaches in the coaching mm-hmm. fraternity, not just locally but in the state. A guy who had some bad breaks in the postseason and year before, for him to finally get one, I know was made a lot of people feel good, but I asked him about that, and he's more happy for the kids than himself than anything.
Yeah, he's not crazy about talking about himself, but a super guy no. for sure. And then Alcoa doing what they do. We're going to talk to Coach Nix later in the show, but talk about the impressive continued dynasty that is Alcoa football.
Yeah, I mean, I talked with Alcoa last year about East Nashville before they even played East Nashville in that 2021 state final, and Brian Nix has a world of respect for Jamal Stewart, the head football coach at East Nashville, and how they go about their business, how well coached their kids are. And it wasn't just coach speak. You could feel it. Like, you could really tell that the Alcoa coaching staff was impressed and had East Nashville on their radar for some time, and talked about how tough they were in the 2021 final. And then East Nashville graduated 13 players off that starting lineup from 2021 and still made it back to the state championship game, which is, again, a testament to their program. So Alcoa, again, had studied East Nashville very, very well. But Jordan Harris, the star running back, all-purpose athlete for Alcoa, he'd hurt his ankle the week before in the 3A semifinals. And, you know, we see pictures of him on social media in the boot. And you're going, okay, well, is he even going to play? Well, for most of the first half, he only played defense back there at safety. And you could tell their offense missed him a little bit. And so finally, somewhere around the second quarter, they plugged him into the offense, and all of a sudden everything just started clicking per normal. And Alcoa started posting points in a big way and really doing what they needed to do. And East Nashville, man, they played so well. But, again, the special teams game hurt them, much like it did in 2021, where some punts and some special team miscues just kind of went awry. And it certainly was the case. And basically gifted Alcoa, you know, 10 or so points there at the end of the first half and gave them an 11-point lead, and Alcoa just capitalized on that in the second half.
Gosh, if I'm not mistaken, the last five senior classes have all left Alcoa, if they started as freshmen, with four championship rings. Just crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty – yeah, it's really crazy to think about eight consecutive state championships, and it could have been so many more. I mean, you think back to, I think, was the last one that they lost, it was a 7-0 game to CPA. So, I mean, that one definitely could have gone their way. That's a private school out of Nashville. Maybe had they been in Division II at the time, Alcoa won it that year. You remember the 2 years that CAK won in 2011 and 2012, and what great CAK teams they had. But they barely beat Alcoa in that state quarterfinal round in 2011 and 2012. And Alcoa had won, I think, seven in a row from 2004 to 2010. So it could have really been just an insane run. But every now and then a team snuck up and got them. But It's just it's inexplicable. You're looking at their teams to come. There's still a lot of talent left that'll be returning to the field in 2023, and they're going to be a favorite again to win it in 3A.
So let's turn our attention to hoops, especially five-star preps hoops. What have you got coming up? A huge event. There's going to be a dunk contest, and it's I know this has to be one, an incredible amount of work that goes into it, but I know you're really excited about what I think is up next week, right?
I am anxiously awaiting, like every time a FedEx truck or a UPS truck pulls up in front of my house, I think it's going to be the championship belts that I've ordered for our dunk contest winners and our three-point contest. I want to see these things so bad, and I spent a little too much money on those, but I wanted to give the dunk contest and the three-point contest winner something just legit. And we got those wrestling championship belts. I think the wrestling belt weighs 6 or 7 pounds, and I can't wait to see it. But, yeah, it's a huge event at the Civic Coliseum, December 16th and 17th. Two full days of basketball, not just teams from here. We got kids coming from Mountain Brook, Alabama. They have a young man who's being offered Alabama, LSU, and a ton of other SEC programs. We've got Hamilton Heights coming. They have a Villanova signee. We have A.T. Reynolds and Richmond coming over from North Carolina. Lebanon from Middle Tennessee. They have Jared Hall, who recently signed for Tulsa. He's one of the top players in the country, 6'8 forward. We got to see in the state tournament last year against Bearden. And then locally, we got programs like Webb and Catholic and Fulton, CAK. And I think the Stone Memorial girls are coming now, and just so many others. And it's just 2 days packed of basketball, and I have links on all of our sites. If you need tickets, you can go ahead and reserve tickets, get courtside, suites, all that stuff. So I did the walkthrough the other day, Monday, at the Civic Coliseum, and just really started kind of getting excited, getting chills about it, because it's such a cool venue and a cool setting to watch basketball.
Who's going to be judging the dunk contest?
Yeah, appreciate you asking. So we got Heath Shuler, we have Glenn Jacobs, we have Chris Lofton, we have Lane Thomas and Dre Matthews. So a wide range of abilities and athleticism there for those five judges. But, they're going to be gracious enough to come into the Civic Coliseum on Friday night, December 16th, 6 o'clock, and dunk and judge the dunk contest. So it should be a fun night. I was really excited to get Chris Lofton. I don't remember Chris Lofton ever dunking, do you? But I'd still take his expertise over mine.
I think you could count on one hand if you can count and have fingers left over. Best of luck with everything.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And again, if people are interested, go to our social media links or fivestarpreps.com. We have all the information you need about the Five Star Preps Hoops Jam and where you can get tickets as well.
So impressive, the field that you put together, of course, all the events and everything. So, again, good luck with everything. And of course, folks can follow all the hoops action that's going on as it's playing out before our very eyes at fivestarpreps.com. Jesse, thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
All right, thanks, John. Thanks, Vince.
See you, Jess.
Thank you. We'll get a break. Final segment of this hour of Sports Talk next. Today, we're at Oak Ridge Nissan on 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Let's see. Good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Final segment to this hour of Sports Talk, Vince Ferrara with me, John Wilkerson, and we are here at Oak Ridge Nissan, right where the Turnpike meets up with Illinois Avenue. It is their year-end clearance, and they're getting rid of everything. In fact, Scott Grapp only has one sideburn at this point in time. He sold the other, moved it right out the door.
Everything that ain't bolted down, it's leaving, John.
It's going.
Under construction.
The building's going with it, in fact. Everything's going, exactly. It's year-end clearance, and I guess that means buildings and all.
But I'll tell you what, we are here in the temporary headquarters, and you've got deals going at every table.
I'll tell you what, multiple deals working like we do, and it's a lot cozier. It's a bonding time.
Right that it is.
I'll tell you, year-end clearance, folks, if you can hear the sound of my voice, we are doing a complete remodel. The construction reduction sale is in full force during this year-end clearance. So it's a double-double, as they say in some sports, and that's what's happening right here, right now.
Does it impact anything about how many vehicles you get on the lot and how many options your customers have to get those?
We got lots. I know that. And the impact is this. In fact, we're getting more vehicles, and we will have more vehicles for this year-end clearance because of the remodel. So, we got more cars, colors, trim levels, selection. And so it's a win-win-win. It's multiple W's going on. And I'll tell you, this is the time if you've been hoping, wishing, dreaming, thinking, praying about that new car. Yeah, I didn't rehearse that. I'm telling you, it is time.
Yeah, and bring your trades in. You guys will make it happen.
Trades. If you got a trade, you know you got it made. And I'll tell you what, we're loading the wagon right here, right now. And I'll tell you, we're doing things other dealers can't or simply will not do. And we're getting people out of cars. They've come from other stores over on the Clinkston Pike or the Alkalia Highway or the Bill Clinton. And I'll tell you what, we've traded them out of their cars because you got to step up to the plate. That's how you stay number one. You got to step up, and at year end, I'm stepping up.
That's right. And, of course, every one of us at some point in time might have hit a speed bump, and for others it might have been more significant, but everybody rides at Oak Ridge Nissan.
That's right. I'm telling you, bad credit, slow credit, even recent bankruptcy, if you can fog a mirror, you make the drive, and boom, we're going to make that dream come true during our year-end clearance event.
How about that? So, how long does it take to get here?
From?
Well, why don't we just say...
Where the balls are flying.
Clemson?
That's right. Lompoc in California.
Oh, I know where that is.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm a San Diego guy. I know where they 10 minutes.
And they'll save
thousands of dollars.
Make the drive.
All
it's
right.
So
or
easy
the
to
flight.
Find.
Get your sled here and we'll make it happen.
There you go. Right where the turnpike meets up with Illinois Avenue. It's Oak Ridge Nissan. Scott, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Hour number two is next. Coach Al Brown. We talk hoops with him as you listen to Sports Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time.
Yep.
Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.